hello, and welcome back to another episode of And That's That on That.
An entertainment podcast that no one asked for, but here we are anyways. I'm Gavin Bailey.
And I'm Haley Chapman, and this is episode 9. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing, Haley?
Gavin, I'm just hanging in there.
I thought you were going to say heinous.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm just... August is as if Sunday was a full month.
Absolutely. Thank God we are in September.
We're coming into fall. And
how did that summer just go by that quickly? I'm confused.
Because at this time last year, I moved home and that was a full year ago.
That's insanity. We were literally sitting on the beach pulling tarot cards about next move, and it literally said you were going to move away.
It literally said you are in a time of like making decisions and you don't know what to do, but you probably will be changing your home situation, which is crazy.
Insane. And it happened. And now here we are a year later and you're back in LA. Full circle, for a full circle moment.
Well, last episode we had Miss Maddie Murphy with Cosmic RX. She rocked our astrological world.
I've listened
world.
To that so many times, to be honest. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay, I'm not going to like toot my own horn, but our own horn, because so many people actually came to us and said that was such like their favorite episode and a great episode. And I'd have to agree.
I would love to have her back on in season 2. And who knows, maybe do like a couple segments with her.
Go on her pod, like she mentioned. That'd be cool.
We'll do something with Maddie Murphy. But anyways, September always makes me feel like it's back to school time. Like I get that anxiety, even though
that just gave
I'm
me
not
PTSD.
In school anymore. Like it was always, I don't know, September, it's just like, ugh.
Okay, Gavin, don't lie. You never even finished high school.
I didn't, but that's not the point. And we'll get into that later. But I thought it'd be kind of fun, since, you know, it is back to school time, we could talk about our school experiences.
Oh, God.
Have you middle school or high school experiences?
Oh, Jesus. The PTSD is creeping in.
Which I think would be really fun for our guests to hear.
Okay.
You know, how we got here. What made us the way
God.
We are.
It made us stronger. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest
Absolutely,
soldiers.
Absolutely, he does.
TBD if we are the strongest soldiers, but...
I feel like there's probably many embarrassing moments in high school and middle school. I just like...
Oh,
first of all, I was homeschooled from 7th grade until I didn't graduate. I ended up dropping out of school a little early on.
Because you were famous.
Definitely not. But I think it was my junior year is when I was just kind of like, I can't do this anymore.
I remember you making that decision and I was like, God, I wish I could do that.
And it was because I was just going through a lot mental health wise, and school was just not really a priority at that point any longer. It was to just kind of get myself to a better place and I would figure out school later on. It is now later on and I have not finished school. But I don't want to, because I'm fine with where I'm at. I'm chilling. I'm making money, and I'm happy. So,
well, I obviously enjoyed college way more than middle school and high school. I would say my high school experience was like 50-50. Okay, wait, that's maybe like 65% great, and the rest was just like trauma. No, but I'll make you feel better about not finishing high school, because I'll give you one of my high school horror stories.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so I'm going to set the scene. At my high school, we had like a recess. We called it snack, and then a lot of people were judging and making fun of me because I called it snack in high school, but that's what it was. It was on the schedule. So at snack recess, we like before Christmas break, like the last day before Christmas break, they always did like holiday, like Christmas songs. Like someone would get up on the little pep rally stage and sing. No joke. Like, wow. Like perform songs, or they would like play music. But they asked me to sing some Christmas songs, do a little like performance. Now I think about it, I'm like, why did that happen? But of course, like 16-year-old me was like, oh yeah, this is my time to shine.
Such a star.
Oh my God, I am so ready for that. I was so excited. And so I literally burned an entire CD of instrumental tracks of Christmas songs, AKA All I Want for Christmas Is You was one of them. And the other ones were like, oh, they were so like Demi Lovato, Skyscraper. Like it was rough. It was rough.
I remember actually seeing a cover of you singing Skyscraper by Demi Lovato a very long time ago, before we even met.
That was my first video on YouTube that hit like a couple thousand views. And at that time,
that's big time.
It was at that time they were like, no way. And then my album went top 10 on the country charts when I released it. And everyone was like, oh my God, you're famous. And I was like, no, but thanks. So I'm doing that like concert performance at recess. And believe it or not, sweet Haley girl, 16 years old. She's up there singing her heart out. And what do I do?
What?
Forget all of the lyrics to All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like I sang the first two lines and then I was like, I froze. I was completely
frozen.
Were
you just nervous or like?
No, I just genuinely, I'm the worst with lyrics. Oh. If they're not in front of me, I don't remember. I don't know why. I just, my ADHD is off the charts. But so I completely forgot the words. And after the first like verses, the crowd is like singing along because they know the words. And I'm just standing up there with my microphone and I say into the microphone, I go, I completely forgot the words. And everyone was just kind of like, oh God.
Oh my God.
And then I said in the microphone, I was like, shit. And then everyone else, like the people that were running it, like the ASB people were like, oh my God, turn off her mic.
Bleep her.
Yeah, literally. And they took it away and they were like, okay, like we'll stop it. And I was just like laughing so hard, but I completely forgot the words in front of the entire school. And I'll never forget, I went and sat down in my class the next period and the girl next to me turned to me and goes, did you really forget all the words or was that just like funny, a joke? And I said, do you think I would have done that?
Oh
like,
God.
So feel better about the embarrassment that comes with high school. I mean, my experience was unique. Not everyone sings in front of their entire school, but at least I didn't forget the national anthem when I would sing that.
That would be a controversy if that happened.
My God, it was so nerve-wracking. I'm the worst with lyrics, but yeah, that was my high school horror story, one of many.
I love that for you.
Yeah, so you didn't miss much, Gavin.
Well, I just feel like sometimes I missed out on having a high school experience because I was homeschooled, and honestly, it didn't affect me much until like now.
Yeah, like you look back and you're like, I never had that.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of has to do with like people I've met over the years and like seeing kind of their life and their experiences and stuff like that. But one thing that I definitely kind of made the decision on really early on was like, I'm going to pursue music and focus on myself, and school wasn't really part of that plan.
I think
so,
you made the right decision.
And I'm happy because I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't do that. But I still, you know, think about what it would have been like if I went to school.
Well, you visited me at college a lot.
Yes.
So that was fun.
I lived my college experience vicariously through Haley
me.
By traveling to Nashville once a month to
so
hang
fun.
Out.
So fun.
For a long time. But I had a similar experience when I sang, when I was doing the play Grease.
Shut up. Who did you play?
It was a school play. I was not like a main character. And
you weren't the John Travolta.
No. I can't remember his name. It was like, he was the one of the greasers, basically.
Got it.
I had maybe five lines.
I'm screaming. I would die to see a
and
photo
so of And so I was like, you know, it was the scene where we were all sitting on the steps and like eating lunch and like talking like we were at school or whatever. And then the scene ends, all the actors leave their lunch on the steps and I'm like, guys, you forgot your lunch. And
a star.
And so I'm at the top of the stairs. I like bend down to grab the lunches and I took a wrong step. And down I went down the whole staircase, and the whole audience was like,
That's the worst.
My dad got it on film, and
oh my god, I'm gonna call your father and
I need
get
to
it
find it. It's on like an old fashioned video.
Oh, I'm
tape,
obsessed with that.
So that was my experience, and I never did a school play again.
Yep, I wouldn't if I were you either.
But yeah, I mean, school's interesting. I think it's not for everybody, but you know, that's our experience.
I'll just tell you, I get where you're coming from, but. You didn't miss out on that much.
Yeah, true. And I think it's cool because it kind of comes full circle. When I made that decision to drop out, I was in rehab at the time when I was 16. And, well, not rehab, but it was a mental health treatment center. And that is the very same treatment center that I work at now.
Love it.
So pretty crazy how that all happened.
And that wouldn't have happened, you know, if you hadn't.
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
So it's sometimes life works in mysterious ways and we just kind of have to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. But let us go into this next segment, the one you've all been waiting for.
One, two, three.
Pit and peak. Nice. Ooh. That was really good.
Thanks.
So
I'm a singer. Did you know?
I don't remember who started last time or if it was you or me.
I think it doesn't matter. So I would say you kick it off this time, Gav.
Okay. So my pit, something that people may not know, I take antidepressants.
Right.
And there's...
As many people do.
Yes. There's a medication called Lexapro, okay? And I've been
on it
since I was like a young teen. I couldn't get a refill the other day because the pharmacy was out and they had to order it. And
the
then
worst.
I couldn't get it because of I had plans and whatever. And so I went like a few days without it. And it does this thing where... It's like your brain is kind of withdrawing from...
Brain zaps.
Yeah, it's called brain zaps. And you feel like this electricity moving through your brain.
Hardcore.
And you feel like it's almost... I feel like it would be similar to vertigo if I was to compare it to anything. So very uncomfortable feeling. I was super busy during this time. So I had to like work through that feeling. And it sucked. But I'm good now. I've been taking my meds again.
We love the self-care. Should Lexapro sponsor us?
I'd honestly, sponsor us, Lexapro. Get a discount. And that's that.com.
Code antidepressant 20.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was my pit, my peak. Honestly, just the fact that we are getting ready for season two, there's so much happening right now that we have to keep hush hush, but we've been booking some
awesome
massive guests for season two. So honestly,
excited.
Like, I'm just so over the moon excited about what's to come. Been working on new music. I'm releasing a single in the fall. So thank God.
Keep your eyes out for that.
It's been a year since I've put anything out. So I'll be putting out a single in the fall and an album to follow. So that's happening finally. I'm very, very excited. But that would be it for me. I think, you know, life is moving along and
yeah.
But what about you?
So I would say for my peak, I went on a date.
You did?
Yeah. I went on a date. So like I haven't, I'll just lay it all out for all y'all. I haven't gone on a date since 2018. I'm not kidding you. I went on one and it was so traumatic that I was like, I can't do it. I'm such like a meet people in person type of gal.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know
what? Was this like a dating app date or like a meet?
Instagram.
Oh.
Instagram DM date. But yeah, so
slid into the DMs.
Yeah, honestly, I respect it. But so I went on this date. It was super nice. We just got some drinks and, yeah, anyway, so that was good. It felt good. Kind of felt good to like get back in the dating game.
I mean, I feel like it's just been such a weird year for many people, for everybody. And to be able just to like go back out and like experience life again is nice.
Well, I like went through a really bad breakup after college and I think I was just scarred and I was like, I don't want to get back into it. Like, I'm just going to focus on myself. But I realized that like pushing yourself to do things that you're like kind of scared of, don't really want to do, is also self-care.
True.
So I did that. That was nice. That was fun. And then my pit. I also have struggled with my mental health in the past as well. I kind of went through a lot of ups and downs and it was really taking a toll on my life. And since we talked about mental health, like honestly every episode since we did the Mental Health Awareness Month episode, I just feel like it's important to be honest about like nothing's good all the time, ever. Yeah. And it's honestly, nothing is perfect. And I've just learned you have to just roll with the punches and realize that like nothing is perfect. And it's just the way that you handle the curveballs that matter. And so I've really been working on that. But if I'm being completely honest, like I've been pretty low, lower than I've been in a long time. So it's just been hard for me to stay positive.
What do you think is like the root of that?
I'm just like really stressed out right now with like when I moved out. It's like, it's just hard to like balance, you know, money and life and stress and the job search. And it's all of it is so overwhelming. And a lot of like the job searches and interviews and stuff is like, you question like, am I good enough? Like imposter syndrome. Like I'm never going to get this job that I really want because I'm just like, I would screw it up. I'm not good enough. So I think a lot of it has just been like clouding my brain. And I've been really struggling to like, you know, get out of bed some days and feel good about myself some days. And it's just like a roller coaster. It's exhausting. But luckily, like with therapy, I know how to like deal with these things. But just being honest, my pit has kind of been that I've just been a little low, little sad, a little depressed lately. But I am forcing myself to take care of myself, getting out of the house every day, writing in my journal, going to therapy, staying positive in the job hunt and interview process. But yeah, just kind of struggling with that a little bit. But you know what? Everything always gets better. Nothing's perfect. And hang in there.
Absolutely. Thank you for your vulnerability.
Of course.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I've been in the same boat. I think I'm in a constant swing of feeling low and then feeling kind of numb. I think a lot of it has to do with medication too.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely open to changing that around, but it's, you know, we are also going through a very hard time in the world that
I think that's a huge factor too.
Yeah. I mean, it's feeling the weight of the world, is a very valid reason to feel the way that you feel.
COVID's also really stressing me out too with like, just when I do start my job, like, and it's just like working from home every day. I'm like, I'm such a person that needs a routine to get out of the house. And honestly, when you're like questioning your worth and imposter syndrome, it's like, even my confidence is hard right now too. Yeah. That's another reason I forced myself to like go on this date. Cause I was like, you know what? You're going to feel better and productive and good about yourself. And I did, because all I do is talk. I'm a podcast host. So I was like, just talk, just, you know, get to know him. And yeah, so that's what I've been dealing with, but every little thing is gonna be all right.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I will say we definitely have a very, very good episode here for you guys. We got deep in this interview. We have our friend Kyle Reynolds. He just released a song with Griffin called Best Is Yet To Come.
Killing it.
Haley also has some more about Kyle.
Yeah. So Kyle, you'll find this out a little later, but Gavin kind of grew up with him and has known him for like 15 years. So he's also from Orange County, based in San Clemente. He's a singer and songwriter and producer, and began his career with many placements on TV networks like ABC, CBS, MTV, ESPN, MLB Network. Like a great place to start.
Yes.
And he, like he said, he just released a song with Griffin. He had a cover of a song on a CBS Super Bowl commercial. He's got over 11 million streams and counting, with 1.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify alone. He's written with artists such as Why Don't We, Cheat Codes, and countless others. He's recently promoting his single Best Is Yet to Come that has already surpassed 8 million streams on Spotify. So we're stoked to have him tell us a little bit about his story. We did get deep into, you know, his personal life as well as how he got to where he is. And it's a really interesting story. He's killing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a little longer of an episode this time, but buckle in. This one's really good. Grab a cup of coffee, some tea, a beer.
Get in a comfy place and just listen.
So without further ado, please welcome our good friend, Kyle Reynolds.
Yo, what is up, party people?
Thank you so much for being on the show, driving all the way from San Clemente, California.
Yes. You guys are worth every mile.
It's the crew of Orange County kids right now.
We are.
We are.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Haley grew up in where? RSM?
Yeah, like Mission Viejo.
Mission Potato.
Mission Potato. Oh, yeah. It is kind of a sleepy town, but.
I was born and raised in Laguna Niguel.
Look at us. Wow. Neighbors. Never knew it.
And we made it all the way to LA.
All the way. Here
so
we are.
So far.
Oh, my God. I want to start out. Growing up in Orange County, were you like exposed to the music industry at a young age that made you want to pursue music? Since you did start at like 17, was there like a certain moment in your life that kind of made you want to start pursuing music, or was it something that you finally kind of got the courage, if you will, to like start doing it then?
Yeah, it was kind of, there wasn't necessarily something in the industry. It was more of an abrupt kind of personal thing where I've always grown up being a music lover, and my dad would always be playing music, and I would like one of those stories. Like I didn't, like you said, I didn't start playing music super young, but I would fall asleep to like Bach and Beethoven and things like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was kind of always around me. And then my dad worked in the music industry, not directly to like music creating, but like for the In Ear Monitor company, Ultimate Ears. And so
yeah, he gave me my first pair of In Ear monitors.
Heck yeah. They're so awesome. But I kind of started playing music. So I taught myself piano off of YouTube, and it was kind of it went in a line with when I was kind of going through a tough time in high school, and as I was transitioning out of that period in my life of like, hey, a lot of this, the decisions I'm making and a lot of the ways I'm living my life are not super awesome. I want a better life for myself.
Yeah.
Was also it kind of the intersection of when I started playing music. And I remember teaching myself piano and starting to write songs right out the gate, just because I had a lot in me that I needed to like share with myself and eventually would be more people. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like this makes me feel so good. It's free therapy and it doesn't ruin my life, because I was doing a lot of things at the time that felt good, but also weren't necessarily productive for my life and kind of living a destructive lifestyle. And so it was kind of this aha moment of like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even really know what chords I'm playing, but I'm making something that makes me feel good. And I can take all these feelings I have, these things I see in myself and other people, and make a song and make art. And that was kind of the start of the obsession, which has led to me being now 28 that is still obsessed with that same feeling that brought me at 17.
Did you kind of teach yourself how to play? And
yeah, so I had lessons for like a year in seventh grade, but it was one of those things where like how a lot of kids have like music lessons growing up. I didn't love it. So my mom was like, oh, you should take, and it wasn't like, she didn't like force me, but like they wanted me to take piano lessons and I hated it. I didn't have a good teacher. And so like, besides that, that was like my only prior experience or like exposure to like actually playing an instrument. But what I would do is I would go on YouTube and I would learn covers, and then I would try to sing them or do them. And I'd be like, this sounds like the song, but just like a way worse version. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. Like, this cover of Little Lion Man by Mumford and Sons is the Kyle Reynolds version on piano. It's not great, but... But I learned chords. And so what I would do is I would take the progression, the chord progression from these multiple different songs I was learning, and I would make my own song. And that's kind of how I was introduced to like songwriting, is by learning the chords from other songs and then making my own music out of it.
I feel like a lot of people learn that way too, especially with YouTube. I was the same way. I could not do piano. My brain just doesn't work that way. I can't read music. I tried guitar. I'm a singer. Yeah. That's it.
Singing is hard too. So
that is true.
So going back to you starting music and at kind of around 17, you were still in high school at the time.
Yeah.
So today's show, we're talking about going back to school and our school experiences. What was it like to kind of put yourself out there whilst still in high school? Were you like supported? Was there negativity?
It was weird. I think it was weird for a lot of people because I mean, I've always been like kind of this like soft dude, but like back then, I was getting in a lot of trouble. And so I think to a lot of people, I was perceived as like this troublemaker or like this in quotes, like bad kid. And
sure.
And going from like that, like super party kid to like, hey, I make like music about my feelings on piano. And it's like you said, it's really like, it makes sense because a lot of people that like we all play music with, or I play music with, have wanted to do this almost their whole life.
Yeah.
And so like, it's not surprising, but it's kind of, like you said, it's not super, super late, but it's late enough where it's kind of weird to be like, oh, you're a music, like, it's kind of like someone deciding they want to be a rapper. Almost.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
A little different, but like,
where did it come from?
Yeah, where did this come from? And all of a sudden, like, okay, Kyle plays piano. Oh, Kyle has a show at Chain Reaction. Like, I don't even know what's happening, but like, people were like, I think I'll go.
Yeah.
And so I think it was probably weird. Yeah, we've all like opened up for like a rapper or opened up for a country artist into a heavy metal band at Chain. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. We've all been there.
And you like lost money. It was awesome. But and you sold like 50 tickets and lost money.
Yeah.
But
yep.
And they made money. But so like I was doing that, and I'm sure it was really weird for people. But I think something that I think about that I haven't thought about it in a second, but I used to think about, and it's something that's good for me to reflect on, is when, and I think about this too, like when I have children someday or someone is playing music for me for the first time, like the first time you go like, hey, I do this thing that's vulnerable, and you, mm-hmm. and the reaction that you get that first time is super important to almost for like sure. the trajectory and the future of your whole career.
Yeah,
and definitely. I remember I was at this like house party thing, and I was like playing piano, and I was probably being like, and I feel things. Like, I think I was probably like singing like that, which is like also really cool to sing like that right now. But back then, and I remember someone being like, oh my gosh, he sounds like Andrew McMahon, or like, he sounds like Jack's Mannequin. And like, whether I knew I wasn't great then, but like, I don't know, these girls like told me that, and whether they were lying or whatever it was, it was enough to kind of give me the courage to keep going.
For sure.
And and that was kind of like, I remember one of the first times putting myself out there. And I also feel very fortunate that like, like you said, like you've watched me since the beginning too, Gavin. And like, I've been fortunate enough where like people have been able to watch me grow, and some people have been able to stick with me as I'm learning. Yeah. I didn't come out, like I wasn't born like a natural, amazing songwriter, born a natural, like amazing singer. And so like, I've literally just done it every day for years, where like now I'm able to do it where like some people like it, and like I'm able to like have it be my job. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
I think that's so important too, for even for people listening that might, you know, be a little older, that haven't had that like dream their whole life, mm-hmm. to not be so intimidated by, you know, the idea of actually pursuing music, because it is possible. Like, maybe they're not like the best singer, the best songwriter, whatever. It's great to see like how far you've come to how good you are today, like from where you started. Thank you. And I mean, with everyone, it's time really makes you, what the fuck am I trying to say?
It's a lot. I mean, a thing that's funny too is like, it's also just a lot of luck. Like the harder you work, for sure, the luckier you get. But like, I know people that are bad songwriters that have written huge songs. I know people that are good. I know that some of the best songwriters I've ever met that have never written a big song. And I know people that are great songwriters that do write great songs. I know people that are bad that not like, I've seen it happen. And so one thing like to learn, especially like I lived in Nashville for a couple years and things like you can't, and I've seen people go from like zero to 100, like you can't count anybody out, mm-hmm. whether it's like someone on the business side who's an intern and now is like the head of A&R to like the person who is like going to Belmont and just like wants to be famous. And sometimes they get famous, or someone who is just like, oh, I write poetry, I want to write songs. And now they're like writing hits. Like, so like you just, and that could be you, it could be someone else. And so I think it's good to know that like, yes, like when you work hard and you practice, it gets you closer to your goals. But a lot of it does have to do with just like the luck of the draw and being in the right place. Yeah, who you know and being in the right place at the right time. And I don't know, the older I get, I don't really get mad if someone who's like a TikTok model or whatever becomes like a huge artist or things like, to me, like
we talk about that all the time.
It just like, it makes sense. And I'm like, oh, like, of course they have a platform with a million, like, and then they had a good producer produce a song, like, and it's okay. Like that's totally fine. Like to me, like that, it makes more sense actually than like some other things. So, I don't know, kind of a whole other tangent.
That's good.
But it's kind of what I think the good thing to take away from that is like, it's never too late to start. And who cares if you don't know a lot? A lot of people don't know a lot and are very successful.
I'm a Belmont alumni.
Let's go.
And that's where I met so many connections. I was interning at like all the record labels like UMG and Warner. And now like I moved back to LA, obviously, but I knew so many people and so many connections just through that. And I ended up, it's so weird when you start as an intern and then you end up on the same playing field as your bosses were.
Yep.
So it's like, I was working at shows where I had to work with them and I was like right on the same level as the people that were my bosses.
Yep.
What kind of got you here? Like, was it networking? How did you break into the songwriting world from the point where you're singing Mumford and Sons and people are giving you compliments to where you are now?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot of things. I grew up, like we said, I grew up in Orange County, and I kind of just wrote songs in my room as I was like learning. And then I ended up moving to Nashville for like 2 years, where I got introduced to co-writing and, and like, I feel like I kind of just tell people I learned how to write really craft songs in Nashville.
Definitely.
Because everyone's just so damn good.
Yeah,
and
everyone.
And it's weird. And it's funny. There's certain things that I'm almost trying to unlearn now working in LA and kind of doing things. But like, I remember like when I was first starting to write songs, I would just be like, and we were in the magic and then the night came and then and then the light ring, like I would just kind of say words and I was like, if it felt good, I don't even care, which is like, and then I realized like, oh, people in Nashville are like saying things that like is like a sentence you can like speak, which also feels like poetry.
That's the storytelling.
Yeah. Which is funny. Ironically, I'm trying to unlearn that now because like, especially if I'm doing like hip hop sessions and things like that, it's so stream of conscious and like, it does. It just all that matters for the most part is, does it feel good? But I went to Nashville and I learned how to write songs. I started collaborating with people. And when you, like, co-writing is super vulnerable, especially when you've never done it, or when you're like trying to get to know someone. But when you have a great co-write, and I remember leaving like my first co-write being like, whoa, that person did something on guitar that I could have never done by myself. That person put a melody in my head out there that I would have never done by myself.
Yeah.
Because even if you're the best songwriter in the world, or the best creative, you're still limited to what you know. And everyone has limitations. So like, I remember just being just blown away by the collaborative process. And I love people. So like, it's my dream job because I'm making music, but also my dream job because I get to sit here with you guys today and talk about our life, feelings and all that stuff. And so I fell in love with that whole process and started kind of getting more connected. Like Nashville's a very small town where, I mean, it's like a, how they say, like the smallest big town or whatever.
It really is. But you also I like forget. Know everyone.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's not super small, but like yeah, I could go to a coffee shop and not call anyone and know that I'm going to like probably know one person. So, and that kind of goes with music. Like if you're in sessions and even if you're unsigned or you're signed, if you're in sessions and you're like writing great songs, people are going to talk about it and people are going to tell other people about that. And so that kind of started happening. I started working with like a manager out there. And then ironically, when I moved to Nashville, because of my connections in Nashville, I started getting connected to people in LA, because when I lived out here, I didn't know anyone out in LA. And like when you're unsigned in Nashville, you can still work with a lot of people. It's a little trickier to kind of get in the rooms when you're not a part of like an ecosystem or like a publisher or whatever when you're in LA. And so through the doors I was in Nashville, that ended up crossing over to LA. And I started getting connected to people out here. And then after about 2 years in Nashville, I kind of just realized, I was like, you know what? Like, I love Nashville. I still very much do now. But I was like, I'm mostly writing pop songs. A lot of the artists that I want to work with live in LA. So it just makes sense. Like, I remember getting a call when I was on a trip and my old manager was like, yo, can you do a session with like, Why Don't We, this like boy band? And I was like, yeah, I would love to. And like, if I was in Nashville, I couldn't do those like last minute things. And that was just kind of eye opening to being like, oh shoot. Like a lot of the people I want to work with are out here. I was starting to do some dance music stuff. And just kind of a lot of the things I was working on, was excited about, was in LA. And I wasn't really doing country records. And there is every kind of music out in Nashville, but a lot of the things I was focusing on wasn't like at the forefront in Nashville. So I ended up coming back out here a little bit for music, but also like my now fiance, we were like kind of starting to talk a little bit. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to go kind of like vibe out this music thing. Also kind of vibe out this other thing. And so I was like, and I was only planning to come out here for like 2 months, and I ended up just never going back to Nashville. Yeah. And so, and then kind of just started co-writing with a bunch of people out in LA. And then kind of doing the same thing I was doing in Nashville, but the LA version, and then started writing some songs for other people, got some cuts here and there. And then like fast forward like a few years later, like I just met my manager now. Like I signed to a company called Hallwood in February, and my manager Brennan Bryant and this guy Corey Litwin, awesome, like pretty much have like changed my life. And started working with them, and now I'm just like pretty much here in LA writing songs for people, writing songs for myself, producing, and kind of doing all that. So
were you writing country in Nashville too?
Nope.
No, just pop.
Yeah,
just pop. And hip-hop.
And what's funny is like I like, now that I don't live in Nashville, I would love to go to Nashville and write country songs. But like, I also, when I was in Nashville, I was mostly focused. Now I mostly create music for other people. I mostly was focused on my artist thing. So it didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
And the last thing, like when you're like a pop artist in Nashville, the last thing I wanted was to be like perceived as like a country artist.
Yeah.
Especially my old manager was like managing Hunter Hayes at the time. And I just like didn't want to like, I wanted to have a thick line between like an obvious line between what I'm doing, what else is going on. So,
totally.
Yeah. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh, yeehaw. Like let's make some country music. So,
well, country music is one of the industries still that's heavy on songwriters pitching songs for artists. Yep. Like a lot of artists in the singer songwriter pop world like to write their own stuff. And in country music, like you look at an album and you'll see, you know, the artist isn't even on the song credits. Yep. So I think that's a big reason why, you know, Nashville's huge for songwriters. Well,
pop music has changed a lot too. I feel like outside songs are the really cool thing about pop music right now. What is cool about it is like the realness of it, which like songs, even though they slap, like Katy Perry, bubblegum pop things, don't connect as much. I mean, we still need those songs just as much as we need like the heartfelt, like ballad type things. But what people really like, there's a reason Olivia Rodrigo is as huge as she is.
Yeah.
There's a reason Conan Gray is as big as he is. And so like, I think people really just want realness, and they want artists that are writing their songs. And so
it's like you can connect better. That's why Taylor Swift is so big, because people know that she's writing it herself and it's true experiences rather than just, you know, a pop bop.
Totally. And there's like ways, like now, I mean, people still do take outside songs, especially like a label. If you hear a hit song, like, or even an artist as a songwriter, like people still want hit songs. And so like, but what I do a lot of time now is I'll just write hooks, even for pop songs, hooks. So like they can put their story in the verses. They can still be a part of the collaborative process. The record can still reflect them, but like you can also send it as an outside song.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely want to touch on a song you just released a little bit ago with Griffin. Best is yet to come.
Congrats. Yes. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Huge
Thank
congratulations.
You. Thank you so much.
How did that come to be? I know you write a lot for other artists. Was this something that you pitched, or was it kind of you were in the right room at the right time?
None of the above. It was very random how this worked. I'm trying to decide if I should tell like the whole story that like maybe I'll get in trouble for or whatever. But so whatever. I'll tell like pretty close to like what happened. So very random. A DJ actually sent me a track, and me and my friend April Bender wrote Best Is Yet to Come to this track that this DJ sent me. And they ended up actually pitching the song Best Is Yet to Come that we had with this other DJ for like a year, and no labels wanted it. And so we were like sick, and then we're like, oh, maybe we can get like a bigger DJ on it to like help kind of make the song bigger. And then there was one time I was talking to one of Kygo's A&Rs, and I was supposed to have a song with Kygo. And so I was like, oh, since like I'm kind of in talks with Kygo's team, I should like, since no labels want this Best Is Yet to Come song, I should make like a piano version that kind of feels like it would be a Kygo record. And so I take the acapella and I make this like kind of just like super feelsy emotional piano version of Best Is Yet to Come. And then send it to him. They pass on it. And then I end up like a month later or something, or 2 months later, signing with my manager. And I was like, I sent him the stripped down version of Best Yet to Come. And I was like, yo, like, did I ever send you this? And he was like, oh no. And he's like, he texted me, he goes, bro, I just got like goosebumps, like listening to this in the car. Like I want to like cry almost. And I was like, it's like, oh shit. I like thought I'd already sent it to him. And turns out like that next week, Griffin had hit up Hallwood, my management company, and like their A&R was looking for songs, and my manager sent the stripped down version of Best Is Yet to Come, and Griffin goes like, I love this. And that he's like, and his A&R goes like, send the stems like immediately. And I'm like, holy crap. And so like, I mean, I get excited. I also like try not to, until I can listen to something on Spotify, I try not to like get my hopes up. I mean, you know,
same thing.
Like, how many times have you like had a song on hold, or even if they cut vocals on it and fully finish the song, they could have the album art. You just never know. So I'm like, this is sick. I send the stems to the A&R, and I drive to San Diego, and turns out I like put like an alternate like verse. Or like there was like an old verse I put in like in the stems, and they're like, what is this? And I was like, oh shoot. And so I realized like, and then they're like, oh, and then like, so like the piano part that's like, like that's the piano I played like in the demo. And they're like, which is like one of the main leads of the song. And I also forgot that. And I was in San Diego. My computer was in Orange County. I was on like a double date at like this like cute little park area. And I was like, hey, I'm so sorry, babe. And I'm sorry to everyone else, but like,
I gotta go.
I have to go. Yeah. So I'm driving home like a million miles an hour, thinking I ruined it. Cause like also people like that get sent so many songs.
Yeah.
Like, and if the last thing you want to do is make it like difficult for them. And
that.
So I'm like, okay, frick. Like I just ruined it. Like my career's over. Like to being a dramatic, like musician as I am. So I go and I resend the stems. And then and I'm usually so diligent when I send like stems. And by stems, I mean like the files, the bass, the piano, vocals. That's like what I call stems. So I send the stems. I forgot like one other thing. And I'm like, oh, wow. I think I'm trying to not get this cut. I think I'm trying.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah, self-sabotage. So I end up finally getting everything over. And they end up saying like, this is like his favorite song right now. And I'm just like, holy crap. And then I find out like, yo, it's going to be a single.
Amazing.
And then like, and then we're kind of connected on email, and then we ended up doing like one Zoom session to kind of go over some things and like the drop. That was my first time actually meeting Dan, which is, who is Griffin, and
did not think his name would be Dan.
Dan Griffith. And like one thing, so like the song ended up coming out, which was really rad. And like, I am like so freaking grateful, because not just, I mean, I was a fan of Griffin before the song came out. So yeah. I'm always super grateful to have songs, artists that like I'm fans of and that I listen to. But like Dan and the whole like Griffin team has been so good to me. And like one, like I remember Dan saying like, "Hey Kyle, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this song. Like I love," which is like, that's such an awareness that like a lot of people at that level don't have.
Yeah.
Like letting me, like the posture of like letting me, thanks for letting me be a part of this song is like,
that's so awesome.
And then like putting me as a feature artist, like I'm like the first demo vocalist that they've ever kept. Cause I just sang it as a demo vocalist. And then they decided, they're like, "I don't know if we like want, like, I don't think we can have any other singer on this." Or like Dan was like, "I don't want any other singer on this. I want to keep the demo vocalist." And which like I did not expect that. So I was like, "Hey, Louis Capaldi," like I literally was like, I was like sending like, "Hey, I think Louis Capaldi would be good on this." And like, "No, we want to keep your vocal." And then they also were like down to keep me as a featured artist. And then things like Dan putting me in, like things that you wouldn't think of, like him putting me in the album art, like didn't have to do that. Filming a music video, having me be in the music video, doing an acoustic version, having me be also present in the acoustic version, bringing me out to like Vegas for the first time in my life, and like having the, and just like, and like saying my name, and like there's just these things that like mean a lot that I think like I just feel like he really raised the bar for like musicians and artists at that level, like because he doesn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of features and a lot of songs with people who don't do that, and so I'm just like super grateful, and it's been like an awesome experience. And Dan is just like, or Griffin is just like a really good dude, and. I'm just so grateful that like the song has like been doing well, and it's my first song that like plays places.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So like, which is, and I actually haven't heard it out yet. I would love to, but like, it's so, I can't explain, like people are like, "Yo, I heard you at the Boise airport. Yo, I'm working out and the music video is like playing in the gym."
Oh,
yo,
so cool.
I heard like, and it's just, it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And like,
so cool.
It's just, it's super fun. And I'm also like, what's really nice about it is like, I'm at an age and a stage in my life where like this stuff doesn't like really, like it doesn't really puff up my ego or anything. It's just more of like, oh, this is really fun.
Like, this is what I've wanted.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, this is really fun. This is exciting. It's not, it doesn't take over. Like it doesn't fill these like huge holes I have and like, and overcompensate for other things. I'm at a point where like, I'm like, you know what? I'm just a dude. I like playing music, and like, so cool that like this is happening with this song. And like, I'm just like stoked to like be a part of it and so grateful.
Well, I'm seeing Griffin in Vegas in a couple weeks. I'll let you know if he plays it.
Let's go. That is awesome. His shows are so good too.
I'm so excited. Yeah. It's at a pool party. So
heck yeah.
I'll let you know.
Is it at XS?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Is that the one you played at?
So we were at Encore Beach Club, okay, which is sick.
So we're going there too, but seeing Marshmallow.
Oh, sick. So like he was at like, and I think he's like, because XS is bigger.
It is, yeah.
He just like, but because his shows are crazy at Encore Beach Club. And I think he kind of like, they're like, "Yo, you're selling so many." I don't know what the whole process was, but it seems like, "Yo, you're selling so many tickets. Like you're playing." Because I don't know if you played XS before, but those shows are crazy. Like there's no better feeling than like being on stage for like a, like with a DJ and you're singing a song.
It's so
and the,
awesome.
When the smoke comes out, like that's like a top tier experience that I wish everyone could like stand up there and like feel what that feels. It's
crazy.
Like going on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's like, so fun. And yeah, just very, very grateful for that.
Well, I would say the best is yet to come.
So one of the things that's pretty unique about you, especially is, I know that you're a Christian and you're more open about your faith, especially as someone in the industry. Have you received like any sort of feedback from that, or is it kind of never really been a question in your mind that you would be open about it?
Yeah. So, I'd love to answer that. So I was in a session probably a couple months ago. It was really funny. My friend was like, "Dude, I don't like to tell people like I'm Christian in sessions. Because like, I don't want people to look at me different or like judge me." And I was like, "Dude, I actually," cause like, well, it's funny. Cause like, I feel like at least where we grew up or or like probably when you're younger in middle school, like being Christian was like a lot cooler, I feel like, than it is now. Because some of the representation of that is not always awesome. So, but I was telling him, I was like, dude, I actually love to like tell people I'm Christian in sessions. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, because like it's important for people to know that like, hey, I'm Christian, but I also think way differently than some of the people that might be like, because there's a lot of Christians that it's like,
like be that example.
Yeah. Like, and it like seeing, okay, let's just see, like, for example, okay, they see I'm a Christian artist and I'm working with like a gay artist or something like that. And this is someone that like, I'm not just working with, but I'm also like friends with, and we have like an actual real relationship. And it's like, oh shoot. And I like to be like, yeah, I'm Christian. Or seeing me like investing in like, okay, like this isn't necessarily something I've done on purpose, but it's like, okay, I have a diverse team. And like, let's just say like the church I go to is not just like all white people and things like that. And it's just like, I think it's important for people to know, like, yes, I am Christian, but like I'm what I think is like way more like Jesus than like a lot of the representations I see of Christianity. And I think I want people to be like, oh shoot. Like, I don't know. Cause I see a lot of things, that are representations of Christianity that I think are like super sad and super distorted. And not a reflection of like Jesus's character and things like that. And I still like, I have like a really, I feel like unique relationship with my faith right now. And it's something that like I'm trying to figure out, because I think if you asked a lot of like conservative Christians, they would maybe even say, I'm not Christian.
Which I think is an issue right there. Like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
it's the judgmentalness for me.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just, people have a tough time humanizing, a lot of situations and people like, I think for, people who like, one thing I think about a lot is like, okay, like I remember sitting down with my friend, who is like, who's gay. And he was saying like, hey, like we were talking about God, and he's like, why would I believe in a God who made me this way, to who essentially made me to go to hell? Like if the Bible says I'm like this and I go to hell, and I'm like, oh my God, that's so heartbreaking that you even feel like that. And then all of a sudden it's like, whatever religion, all I'm seeing is a friend who like feels super hurt. And I can't even imagine what that would feel like. And like, because of my faith and everything, my first response is just like, I'm going to love this person. Like, and dude, you are, however you are right now, this is, you're perfect. Like, I think having, or like, I tell my friends, like some of my friends, because like Orange County is very sheltered. Like, I'm like, bro, stop watching the news.
Yeah.
And telling me that like something, I might say some things that like are incorrect. This is like, I'm not a genius when it comes to all this. I don't know everything, but I tell my friends, hey, stop watching the news. Have an actual real conversation with like a person of color and ask them their experience, or a minority, like ask and just have a real conversation, ask them their experience. And that's all you'll need to know.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And you'll learn, like, don't watch like Fox News or see whatever like your position is. Just have a real conversation with your friend and just love them.
Yeah.
Like I think when you ask questions, then love, like you're already missing, like love first, ask questions later.
For sure.
And so like, cause if like, I don't know, I feel like people try to make excuses for why people are a certain way, or why things happen. And so, this is kind of like a whole tangent on this thing, but I just like, I get really fired up about it. And I just get really frustrated when I see people misrepresenting.
Absolutely.
Christianity, and like I almost feel like what I believe, or like this way of thinking, feels like it should be something that is have its own name. to really live like Jesus. And like, I don't live perfectly like Jesus, but that is why I like to tell people that I'm Christian, because I'm like, yes, I am a Christian. And like, it doesn't, Christianity doesn't have to be a synonymous for like pain and hurt. And like, and I've had my own experiences of pain in the church, and no one's perfect. No church is perfect. But I still, there's still some, for some reason, there's still something I latch onto and I'm holding on to, where I will say like, I'm a Christian, and like, this is like, I still have like faith. But it's a process and something I'm still trying to like figure out.
Yeah. Well, it's important that you do that and can be that example for people, especially in the industry. You can be the first person that someone meets that there changes their perspective on that. I think that's really important. I think that's awesome that you stick to that and you don't really like waver with your faith. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And thank you so much for opening up about that. I can tell you were getting a little nervous at first.
Well, I don't know. I just but like, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No,
like,
no, no.
I mean, well, and like, I just like what the words you choose, as you've seen from like politicians and like the words you choose are super important.
Totally.
And that's why I kind of like, hey, I might mess up. I might say something that is maybe a little inaccurate, but like, I'm trying my best. And what I'm trying to do is like share my heart behind these things.
So. Absolutely.
You are a human being. We all say things sometimes that aren't
and one
perfect.
Thing I, yeah. One thing I want to add too is like Christian, whatever, like I'm not actually super concerned with being, I'm not super concerned with being labeled as Christian. I'm concerned as like loving people well.
Yeah.
And like you can call it whatever you want to call it. Like, I think, I think this is an awesome country we live in, but I also don't think like we're better than everyone else. I don't think Christianity is better. Like, mm-hmm. I just like, yeah. I'm like, at the end of the day, I just want to like love my brothers and sisters and
that's
be like
matters.
A good friend to people and like make music that like makes people feel things.
So. And I look Absolutely. Up to that so much. Cause I mean, I, as you know, like I grew up in a Christian household and grew up with, cousins, that are Christian and, worked a lot with them in music. And, for me, I think I just kind of found my own path, spiritually. And, I don't know if I would say that I'm religious necessarily, but I think, a lot of it had to do with just the negative environment that I was in. Again, every church is not the same.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of rubbed me the wrong way as I was figuring out my sexuality. And, yeah. I have absolutely nothing against Christianity. I have nothing against the church. I think when people know that I'm gay, I think that's the first assumption is that like, I hate Christians, and that's just like not the case. And it's, you know, like that's my family. It's what I grew up with. I still have a relationship with God. It's just different. And yeah, I'm just, I'm really glad we got to talk about this, because it's, I think, really important for people to hear.
Within the industry and outside of it too.
For sure.
What does like do you meditate or any?
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely.
Does that feel like praying to you? Like,
that is definitely more. Yeah. Cause I guess for me, like praying was always difficult, cause I just, my mind just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I can't like,
do you think you're talking into a void or something?
Pretty much. So when I meditate, it's like, I'm coming into almost just like being one with like my body and also like whatever higher power.
You're more connected.
Yeah. And I feel that kind of like coming through me, so I can get better, more clear answers. And like,
So you believe in like a higher power?
Definitely. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I believe in God. I just don't know. I'm still figuring that out.
It's a lifelong thing. Like, dude, some days I'm like, I don't know. Like, I love, and I think what's really cool is like, not to talk about this for too long, but it's an interesting conversation, and I do enjoy talking about it. Like, a lot of people, which it doesn't necessarily say this in the Bible, but a lot of Christians like to talk about like having a relationship with God kind of thing. But I think it is a really good and like beautiful metaphor, because like someone that I'm going to like live my life for, I'd like to have somewhat of a relationship.
Yeah.
And so I remember like growing up in the Bible or growing up in church and like reading stuff in the Bible and being like, that feels really weird. Or like, I don't like that, but I'm just going to turn the page and I'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
And like any relationship, Haley, like if you said something that like I didn't really like, or I thought was like rude or confusing, I would ask you about that.
Yeah.
And I think that was like a game changing, thing for my faith is looking at something and being like, oh, this seems confusing, and praying about it or like asking God about it or talking, having conversations like this. And so like, which I also like, even though it has like caused some like really like tough, hard questions, I think that's more of a relationship with God to being like, yo, this verse or like this thing, like, or like, wait, all these people died, or like, how you did that, like, oh, that seems like anger or whatever these things are that like don't seem like the posture of God or things that I don't understand, and like really digging into those versus just like turning the page and being like, oh, I don't know. And I think a lot of Christians are afraid to do that. And it's a lot easier to hold on to this like tiny God where it's like, oh, if you believe this, you go to heaven. If you don't believe this, you go to hell, which mm-hmm. seems like super brutal. That is a very brutal way to think. But it's really, and there, I'll be straight up, there's sometimes parts of my life where I miss that simple way
just
of thinking,
because
it's so safe.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in like you're on the inside of it, like the in crowd of it, like it feels really nice knowing, oh, I do this, I'll go to heaven. Oh, like you could be like me, which is like not a chill way to like spread the message of God, but like there is something that's safe about that. And so when I am having conversations with people who think like that, I do try to empathize of like, oh, like you're just a product of your environment. You actually like,
mm-hmm.
you actually like, it makes sense why you think like this. And even though you are hurting people and you're probably hurt yourself, like I'm going to try to show empathy.
Like see their perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%.
Wise words.
I know. I think the world would be a bigger, better place if everyone was just open to other people's perspective rather than just sticking with their own and not seeing other people's points of view.
I think definitely. We all have a lot more in common than we think.
Totally.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think if people could sit down, like I would like to I'd like to think about like if you could have coffee, if everyone could just sit down and have coffee one-on-one, which with every person, like that would never work, but like, and people would be willing to hear each other out. Like, I think there would be a lot less hatred and a lot more, like I said, empathy and understanding, and just saying like, oh, because like even if you think something that I think is like so wrong, or even like, hey, like I can just be like, okay, like I still see you as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think you're worth loving, which kind of is where I'm proud to like be a Christian or a Jesus follower. It's like I want to love the person that like everyone goes, no, like fuck that guy. And like you can also get in trouble for like nowadays get in trouble for like loving someone, which is like a whole nother thing, like loving someone that like everyone had, because then they go, oh, like you're endorsing, and it's like, no, like I can think someone is super wrong and still like look at them as a human and like see potential.
Yeah,
I like absolutely. To see potential. Like the only reason I'm here today is because people saw potential in me when I was 16 and being an idiot, and like someone looked at me and said, hey, you're making some stupid choices, but like I know you're more than like these decisions you've made. And for someone mm-hmm. to like see that in me, and now I've kind of grown into this man that like I'm really proud of, like we can also be that for someone else. Cause sometimes people like don't love themselves and they need someone to like see it before they do.
For sure.
And they need people to help see them into their full potential. And so like, what a beautiful thing if you can be like the catalyst or the person to kind of spring someone into like who they were meant to be versus this like version of themselves that is like not complete yet.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate
I love this conversation.
I really appreciate you sharing that, being open about that. I think that's a great conversation for people here and our listeners to hear. I think that's cool. Awesome.
So that was kind of a good lead in, I guess, to this next question. Something that I really like that you do on Instagram is post a daily gratitude journal entry, or at least mostly daily.
Yeah.
And then along with your number one baby runs. what made you want to start sharing that with your followers? Cause that's something that I try and do like personally, is at least a few things that I'm grateful for every day just to like keep myself grounded.
Yeah.
Was that something you kind of did personally and then you're like, hey, I should share this, or what was the story behind that?
Yeah. I mean, as you can see from this conversation, I'm pretty open.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, I don't have like really any skeletons in my, like, I don't know. I just want to be like healthy. And so I try to like, I feel like part of being healthy is sharing. Like, you definitely don't need to share everything with your, like, on your Instagram followers.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that does not need to be shared. but I thought it was one of those things where I was like, it's like finding out good news. It's like you want to share it with people. And so when I started doing the five gratefuls, it was so life-changing for me, even though it seems like such a little obvious mundane thing. And then I slowly started seeing, was getting messages. 50% of the messages were about like how horrible my handwriting is. Like 50% because I write like I'm like in second grade.
I love it.
But like, I think someone told me they're like, I don't know if this is true. Someone said like, the fact that your writing is so shitty is like, it also just makes it seem more attainable to like
more
for someone.
Authentic.
Yeah. More, or just like more like anyone can go open their notebook and write down five things they're grateful for.
Exactly.
Totally.
And so I try to write down five different things I'm grateful for every day.
Yeah.
Or like, I would say close every day. And what that does, it almost like, there is no science to this, but this is what I feel like it's done for me. It like almost rewires your brain and how, and just how you think about yourself and how you think about the world. So mm-hmm. like, especially when you try to do five different things every day, it kind of sets your perspective to be looking for good things in your life. And so when you're looking good things in your life, you'll find good things in your life. And so it kind of rewired my brain to always be looking for the good things in my life. And then also like when really like bummer things happen, when you're aware of all the good things, it almost like cushions the blow for like really hard times in your life.
Totally.
And so, and it just makes you aware. It's so easy to be like, to look at the things you don't have or look at how the things you haven't accomplished, but like, it's so good for you to recognize like how far you've come, whether that's like winning a Grammy or like getting out of bed in the morning. And so there's different versions of that. Like some days, like the biggest victory is going to be getting out of your bed. Some days you might, whatever, win an award or I don't know, get a job promotion. And so like, and what started it, this dude named Dave kind of recommended it to me and I was like, yeah, sure, dude. I'll write down like five things I'm grateful for. And like when I went through some of my health issues, like with this like tumor I had on my like facial nerve and like I almost had to quit music and it just kind of like blew all my confidence. I didn't feel like the life of the party. I didn't want to like go on. I just felt so self-conscious. And that was like one of the main reasons kind of why I fell in love with it and why I started doing it was because I was like, oh my gosh, like, yes, this is a thing that is out of my control, but wow, like the sky's blue today. Wow, like my cup of coffee, like there's still some things that are like so beautiful in my life. Like I was able to have a good conversation on the phone. And so like, and I needed like for me to like not want to like, I don't know, I guess be depressed or for me to like sometimes continue going, I had to write down these things in my life because if I didn't, I would immediately be drawn to like this thing that was essentially overruling kind of like my life.
Yeah.
And I thought like there was a point in my life where I would be like, oh, like thinking like today I was having a good day. And then as soon as I remembered my condition and all these things, I would be like, at one point I convinced myself there's no more good days from here on out. I can't have a good day. And
been
like
there.
Yeah. You know, and it's a super heavy, it is like the heaviest feeling ever. And it's like, it's really easy to slip into this like really dark spiral if you just kind of free fall into that thought. And so the thing that was kind of helped me crawl out of that was something as simple as the five gratefuls. And so now as I've mentally gotten healthier, which is obviously a daily thing that like you're working on, but it's like the gym, like I'm in a way better place from that. And like from doing the five gratefuls, but also other things that I've done in my life. And so, but it's like one of those things that like I knew helped me climb out of this like dark time. And so I'm going to continue doing that. And it's been amazing. And I'd like highly recommend it. Even if you do it for like a month, I would love to for people to try writing down five things you're grateful for a month and see how they feel.
We do a similar thing on our show. Every show it's called Pit and Peak.
Oh, nice.
So our pit and peak of the week or of the month or whatever.
Yeah.
So what's your pit and peak of today, Kyle?
Pit and peak. I'd say I'll start out with my pit. And so end on a good note. My pit is, I'm like working on so many songs and I like, it's just, I just get stressed out. And like, I also just, I always want to be better. And I just like, I just beat up on myself sometimes if I'm like not where I want to be.
Yeah. We do.
We all do.
As we do.
Yeah. Which is like part of the reason, like what has gotten me to where I am today, but also like there's a level where it becomes unhealthy. And so just like, yeah, I guess my pit is just being stressed out and then like sometimes dealing with like imposter syndrome.
Oh yeah.
And thinking like, yeah, just that I don't know anything. And so, that is like my pit. And also just like what's going on. There's just so much sadness in the world right now. And like, or just on the news,
mm-hmm.
Which like, obviously you don't want to be naive to what's going on, but this is like another reason why it's good for me to like be on my mental health A game right now.
Yeah.
It's definitely not about me, but like we are humans and we feel mm-hmm. when the world is heavy, like it's easy to feel that. And so
right there with you.
That is like for sure a pit. Peak is, I've been trying to talk about this as much as I can because like every time I talk about it, it's like a reminder, but like this has been one of my best years, in like work, like music, and then also personally. And to recognize that I have both of those. If you're lucky, you get your best work year. If you're lucky, you get your best personal year.
Definitely.
And the fact that I get to have both is like so incredible.
Yeah.
And like just cool to see the hard work of me like showing up for my relationship with Kaylin, who's now my fiance. Like
congratulations.
Thank you. And showing up for that, like, and working really hard at that relationship, and to see like the fruit that has come from that, and then also showing up for work, and like equally, like I make sacrifices for my relationship, and just kind of like proving to myself that like I can have a healthy environment in both in my work and my relationship, and both can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people in music don't believe that. And so, and the people I've always admired have been the people who are like great fathers or whatever, or have great family man or whatever, great brother, great sister, great moms, but also are like good at their work and show up for work. And so, I feel like proud of myself for that. And, that is something I've been like trying to think about every day. Like, wow, like you have an awesome, healthy relationship and like work is going pretty well. Like, amen for that.
That's awesome.
Gratefulness. Gotta be grateful. So one of the questions we ask every one of our guests at the end of the interview is, what would you tell your younger self starting out in this industry? And what would you say to someone, you know, who's also getting into the industry?
Yeah. So I would tell myself, start producing because you'll be able to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really fun. So, I mean, it's fun first and you can make money. Like, even now it's like if I was making money on just like songwriting royalties and things, it would be really, really hard. But like the cool thing is if you produce the song too, you usually get the same amount of publishing and you get your production fee. And you just have more creative freedom to create music you like. And so
definitely,
like I remember I like wrote the song one time and, like I was one that pitched it, got a place, all this stuff. And the producer got paid like $15,000, and then I was like, God. I got paid nothing, and I was just this doesn't feel like, and it's not even necessarily the dude's fault.
Yeah.
That's just like how, like, fortunately for how music is right now, that's how it goes. But I was like, that seems wrong. I want to be sitting in that chair. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and so, it just helps you. It just allows people. It makes it easier to do music as your job. So I would say start producing, especially people now. It's like you have YouTube from the day you're born. Mm-hmm. So like you have no excuse. So you can learn everything on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to like my younger high school self, like kind of like what we were just talking about earlier, or like about like my peak and stuff like that, of just like this person who was just going through a really dark time, like, you are gonna like love yourself and you are gonna be like so proud of the person that you've become. And so just like be patient and like your life is gonna be super beautiful.
Nice.
And so I would say that to my younger self. And then also, it kind of, this question kind of points back to a few things we talked about. And then with lastly, just be kind to everyone. Like we said,
yeah,
be kind to the intern, be kind to your co-writer, the producer, the janitor, like whatever it is, because you just never know. And also, even if it doesn't matter, like it doesn't matter if the intern becomes a president or not, you should just be kind to people, to be
absolutely
kind with no expectation, just because like that's what you should do. And it's a lot easier to be kind to people than it is to like, it takes a little more energy to like be hateful.
That's true.
Yeah, 100%.
And so like, and you'll enjoy your life a little bit more. And that someone else's success does not
equal your failure.
Exactly.
That's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah, I'm glad you finished that because I did not really know the rest of it. I just knew what that's what I wanted to say.
It's all about comparison. So
there's room for all of us. Like,
absolutely.
There's a trillion songs put out every day. Like,
yeah.
And your time will come. Like, it's taken me over 10 years, or like, yeah, about like 10 years. That's like from when I started, but still 10 years to like have a song like do pretty well, you know, yeah, what I mean? And so it's a process. And like one thing I've noticed too in the past like year, a lot of my friends that are like having career songs and finally having careers in music are like between 28 and like the beginning of their 30s.
Oh yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
like the 30s, like
it takes a long time.
So it's encouraging to know that like it could be when, like, some people do have success when they're 16, but you could be 30, you could be 40, you could be 45, you could, whatever, it doesn't, it goes on, like, so, and also just don't forget that, like, we do this because it's fun.
Mm. Yeah.
And then sometimes I have to remind myself,
that's,
I'm like,
one.
Yeah, don't forget that this is fun, like, yeah, making
exactly
music is really cool, and, like,
it can get hard, though, and blurry when, like, it becomes your living as well.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been times where I'm like, no, I want to get out of the industry, I want to do something different, but as soon as I, like, make that decision and get close to it, then I'm like, I would be so disappointed and sad with myself if I did leave the industry. Like, I went to college for this, I've done this my whole life, like, just hang in there, like, yep, you can do this, like,
heck,
it
yeah,
it gets tough.
Yeah,
you have to have patience, you know, and
be resilient.
Exactly.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much, this was such a lovely conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Probably one
Thanks
of my favorites
coming.
So far.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can listen to Kyle Reynolds on Spotify. Follow him on Instagram. What's your Instagram? Kyle Reynolds Music.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Awesome. Well, we will see you next month for our season finale episode. Not quite sure if we should share the guest yet, but.
Absolutely not.
No, we'll keep it a surprise.
We're going to keep you guys waiting.
All right. Have a great month.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.